Am I on now? Excellent, brilliant stuff. Thank you. Just want a couple of very brief comments. The beach day, I just want to say how marvellous it is that a group of friends are doing that, that attend Hope House Church, but it's not an official Hope House Church sanctioned event, therefore you can't sue us. And I have to make that statement on behalf of our insurance. Is everybody understanding that? Excellent, thank you. Because if we say it's an Hope House event, we become liable if somebody drowns. Okay, and after the last three drownings of the last few years, we don't want that. Okay. So, now seriously, I know it's ridiculous, but we have to do that, so I've done it. So, but you'll have a great, it'll be fantastic. I want to say goodbye to our amazing friends Raymond and Angela, because this is their last Sunday with us in the family. So, you are amazing. Family have moved back to Canada, these guys are back to Leeds, but I just want to tell you, from my point of view of speaking, I shall miss your face and encouragement when I look in that direction. It's been great to build a bit of a friendship. We wished it had lasted for many years, but we pray God's blessing on you. And, you know, when I say very really, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And we do pray for peace for you and your family with all that's going on. And we just want to thank you for the time you've been with us. And let's give these guys a round of applause. We love them. Because of the gentle heart they've got, they would have just slipped out of the building. So make sure you greet them and just honour them before you go. Just one more thing. This is not coming off my preaching timing either, by the way. This is additional. One more thing. Many people have been asking, what are Alistair and the family and Caroline and the family doing in Barnsley? Why are they here? What's happening? Well, I was going to do this anyway, but I'm pleased Alice is here this morning. And at some point before the big days, we want to honour this guy and this family, this husband and wife team. I want to just read this letter out to you. Some of you will know about this, many won't, but this has been the process, the plan, the possibility that has worked for a number of years. This is a pioneer situation. This has literally never been done before like this. So once again, Alistair is the cutting edge of something brand new, and I think is doing something for the Lord, with the Lord. And this is a letter that I've managed to cajole out of him that I'm going to read out. Is it all right? Well, the other one I thought I'd got to edit. No. Thank you very much for taking the time and trouble to attend the Royal Army Chaplains Department Selection Board at Westbury last week. It's that one. After assessing the evidence presented from the tests, exercises and interviews, it was clear to the board members that you have a call to Army chaplaincy and the necessary gifts, professional skills and personality to be able to minister effectively in this unique environment. I am delighted, therefore, to offer you a short service commission to the Royal Army Chaplains Department to serve with the regular army. This offer is conditional on you gaining the required medical, DBS and security clearances. He's got those. This is happening. And then I'm going to read the next sentence, because this blows my brains. The Army Commission Board now offers new entrant chaplains a 12-year short service commission. I was thinking like a couple of years is short, a 12-year. This is enormous, and this is something that these guys have been working towards for a long time, and I actually think that their life and ministry and all they've been involved in has led to something like this. The way they live lends itself to this, and there's been preparation for the whole family. But I just want to say what a privilege it was to go down to Alice's ordination. It will begin, you go away, you do some training over the summer, chaplaincy training.
4 weeks in the chaplaincy department from September.
Yeah.
And then 10 weeks at Sandhurst
Military Academy. Sandhurst Military Academy. So you will have to say Captain Beatty when you see him. That will be his... I should be calling him Captain. I don't care if he wants to be called Padre. I'm just imagining him in uniform, and straight away I've got a Baldrick thing going off straight away there. But I think this is amazing. And are you likely to be back with us on a weekend before you go? We're going to pray for you anyway. Come in. We're going to pray for you both. We're just going to pray for you. Can we all stand? Because we love these guys. This is very spontaneous. Didn't even think Alistair would be here this morning, but I just want to tell you, from my point of view, from my ministry point of view, from Anna Julie's point of view, these guys are massive encouragement. We love them enormously. These guys are great coaches. Alistair's coached me through so many things. It's been so significant, so helpful to what we're doing. He's pioneered things and done things, and we just honour this couple. And the person that is often unsung in is this special lady, because he will be useless without the backup of this person. Yeah. No, she does far more than those braces. This lady holds this guy together, spiritually and mentally, in my opinion, and has done for years. She is a proper rock, and so I honour this couple. And we tend to say Al, because he's a big character, but I've got to tell you, he'd be in prison now. he was either going to make it into the army or it was going to be in some sort of a Majesty's institution of some sort. I'm delighted it's this one. So I'm going to lead us in prayer. Is that okay? Why don't you just reach out your hands and pray God's blessing on them. Just want to tell you, this is a real army post, and he's not seconded to anything. He's actually going to be British Army. So the minute that training's finished, it's not like a chaplaincy that's in reserve for your local Anglican church. This guy could be sent anywhere in the world, into any situation. And so, Father, we recognise that we want him to carry you anywhere in the world. You say go, and this guy's quite literally going. So, Lord, we pray that you'll be with him to the very end of the age. Holy Spirit, that you would rest on him, that you would rest on this entire family, that this summer will be a particular summer of blessing. That they would have such amazing quality time together, doing things, discovering things, that their time with friends and family would just be of the greatest value. That there will be such a sense of purpose in all that you're doing with them. That as they look forward, as they look ahead, they would know your hand on them constantly. Throughout all the training, throughout all the preparation, through all the pressure that will bring, I want to pray that there will be that certainty, that clarity, that this is a God call. For this whole family. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn how to support them as a church. Lord, Alistair, while he's away, and the family when they're back here, Lord, show us how to be the right church to love, to care, to support, to sponsor, to be behind, to be a foundation, to be whatever we need to be to enable this couple to fulfill your call on their lives. And guys, we have to say we do love you. And we see the journey the Lord has brought you. And we look ahead and we just feel confident that God has not finished yet. This is new ground. This is pioneer ground. And I want to say I truly feel that the last 20 years of highs and lows since I met you irritated me immensely. Embarrassed your wife hugely when you insisted on shaving your head and yelling, come on, every 2 seconds. But there was a passion for God there that still exists now. And you have walked faithfully through some pressure, through some tensions. And Lord, we pray now that they would march out into a wide open ground, that wide open space, that call of God. So Lord, bless them. Pray that you would honor them. You would turn your face to them. Lord, thank you that we know them. Amen. Amen. Give these guys a round of applause. They're amazing. I've got 20 minutes left now. Well, I better crack on in that case. And I really love these guys. Just encourage them all you can. Put them into your prayer and fasting schedules and things. They're going to do things for God. And would you wait on them for prophetic word as well over the next few weeks, that we can really speak into their lives as they step out. So I want to talk about zombies this morning. It's church, let's do zombies. Oh, somebody brought it up before me. That was quick. Or was that me by accident? Oh, good man. We got started for 10. You see, I've been blown away by... anybody got a mobile phone? I love my mobile phone. But people walk about mobile phones. I had to dodge some people in the town centre on their mobile phones. I had to dodge a woman coming off the escalator at the top of the mobile phone in the Alhambra Centre because she was so fixated. The thing I can't work out is when they're on mobile phones, why does it limit their ability to walk in a straight line at one constant speed? Why do they have to wander and stop and dance in front of you? It's a constant problem. So Shall I turn it on? That'll be good. It's the best party ever. Has anybody ever been to a party like that? Everybody texting, best party ever. Best party ever. I'm having an amazing time. So I want to tell you, anybody that puts stuff on Facebook or Twitter, I want to promise you this, 90% chance they're lying. They're exaggerating. Because if people's lives were that good, the Lord would already have returned. Best day out ever. Friends together. Watch this one, CCTV, woman on escalator. I wished I'd got that as a video. Top of escalator. How annoying is it? And then these are genuine footpaths. They have these in the US now, they have them in Japan. You've got on footpaths, no mobile phone lanes. Mobile phone lanes. I want to know why there's not a fence up the middle and cattle prods on one and keep them up. Because they turn us into complete zombies. Complete zombies. And they're really, really... These are genuine. Oh, this top on the right-hand side. This was a clip from a genuine fire sign. You'll find it in Brussels. It's in multiple languages. In case of fire, please leave the building before posting it on social media, because you know. Smartphone zombie apocalypse. People have lost sight. See, what's starting to happen in our world these days? People want everything up close and immediate. People want it now. They want it in their face. They want it personal. They want it to be about them. So I talk about mobile phones, but the mobile phone is just an analogy of what's going off. People want to see it tiny, and it's so tiny they have to get really up close to be able to read it and understand what's going off. And the problem is then, when everything's so up close and immediate and personal, any little glitch or hitch in life seems enormous. See, I now have the wonders of needing reading glasses. And reading glasses are wonderful. Because if you don't wear them, the world gets bigger. Because you have to push everything further away. And the further away it is to read it, the more you can see. So I just encourage you, don't wear your reading glasses. Enjoy the world around you. I have just had to take a photograph of something on my iPhone with my iPad to enlarge it in order to read it out. So I took a photograph of Al's letter that was on my mobile phone, not on my iPad just now. Enlarged the photograph so I could read it out to you. That's how blind I am these days. That is so bad. God does not want us to live blinkered lives. Because when we lead a tiny, small, blinkered life, we become nothing more than zombies. We're controlled purely by the immediate little thing in front of us. And the immediate little thing in front of us, when it's held just there, feels enormous, doesn't it? Feels enormous. But it's not. It's not in the scheme of our God. But we let it become enormous, and it controls our lives. Let me read you from Habakkuk, part of the Old Testament. And it says this. It's from the Message version. And then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches to be coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Write it down big, because our God is a big God. And make no mistake, he is coming back. He does have purpose. He is on the move. He is real. And I don't want to get lost in the nitty-gritty of this and lose sight of that. Come on. I've got a friend. Actually, I've got more than one friend. I've got quite a few. And this friend is obsessed by wargaming. And his entire world is about an inch high, and they're the big pieces. And he has thousands of hand-painted, hand-crafted, little tiny, incy-wincy things where he can hide his world in these little incy-wincy, tiny, bitty things. And I just said to him, he builds landscapes and all sorts. Have you ever been out into those landscapes? Have you ever seen that? Oh, but I do it all here. And his entire life recreates the world in miniature that he can control. He's God of his little pretend world. Church, We have a God who is God of a real world, and he places us in it. So here's the big question, the why, the why. I want to talk to you about purpose and vision. I want to talk to you about our minds, about our intelligence and our creativity this morning. I want to talk about bringing them together. For you to hold everything God has done in your life, you must have a passion and a purpose and a vision that will change the direction of your life. And God can change the direction of your life. Did you know that? Thank you, John, Neil. Thank you. I'm going to stand over here and preach to two people that are with me this morning. Did you know that God has a plan to change the direction of your life? And we can have that change now. And we can run at it and run with it and run through it. And it is written big. It is written big. That will give us a new why. Let me read this here from Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, you fall over escalators, quite literally. You walk into people, you trip, you fall. It's true spiritually. My paraphrase for this is what I've put up there. I think that's what it's catching on to, what it's saying. Where there is no dreaming or adventure in God, when no one looks up and no one looks out, the people will not value the cross or their unity. The tribe won't matter. And so often the small things become important. And we want to value looking up, looking out, and seeing all that God can do. We want to value the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you know how amazing that is? And my heart breaks when people disparage it and ignore it and pretend it's not there. And when Christians live as though it wasn't real, with no expectation of change. Church, the cross means everything. It means everything. But then he's coming back. And he is coming back. He is coming back. And without the cross as the center of what we are, keeping us humble, helping us to see the generosity and mercy and grace of God, our unity will dissolve. We will stop gathering. The tribe, us, won't matter. See, if you live without a vision for your life, your chances of holding on to the win you have in Christ are not great. If you have no vision, no expectation of what God can do in your life, what you've got in your salvation, you're hanging on to it, will be incredibly difficult unless you see the big picture of who Jesus is, the big picture of where he's going, the big picture of what he can do with the church. You don't want to lose hold of it. Who here wants to lose hold of what Christ has done for them? I don't want to lose it. There are so many internal and external voices that will try to distract you. They'll want to keep you from your God-given purpose. So many people will tell you how you should live, how you shouldn't live, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what is moral, what isn't moral, what is right, what is wrong, what is ethical, what isn't ethical, what integrity looks like, what it doesn't look like, what an apology looks like, what it doesn't. Everybody will tell you how to live your life. Everybody has an opinion. But the one opinion that matters is big. And it's God-sized. And so what I want my life to be, and I encourage you to have your life, is hidden in the purposes of God, not the agendas of another person. We're not frightened of people. We're obedient to God. And when I say I'm fearful of God, it's a different kind of fear. It's not terror. It's an honoring and a respect and a glorying and a reveling in the wonder and the enormousness of who God is. You know, has anybody ever met somebody really successful? You know, like a film star or a racing driver or... Yeah, you've met somebody famous? Yeah, well, I know you, and I know I've met you, and I feel great about it. It makes me feel better just knowing you breathe. I've met a couple of famous people in my life. I've met a racing driver, and just in the moment you think, oh, racing driver, Formula One racing driver, we are not worthy. Because they're phenomenal in what they do. And you suddenly realize that my ability to drive down the M1 to Silverstone is pretty small by comparison. My ability to live life compared to the ability of God. And so I honor. If I can do that with an ordinary flesh and blood human being, how much more honor does our God require? Don't worry about the internal voices. Worry about the God voice. Listen out for the God voice through the people of Jesus Christ who love you. The church that you're placed within, where people love you and their agenda is God's agenda for you. And make sure if you're speaking into somebody's life that it's God's agenda that you're speaking. So often, we're in the mobile phone God agenda. We need to do the big picture agenda. We can leave Hope House late this morning fully embracing what God has done in us and will do through us. We can actually do that. We can embrace every possibility that God has for us as we leave this building this morning. And the possibilities for this town are astonishing. You imagine what happened on the day of Pentecost when 12 people had the nerve to stand up and say, this is who Jesus Christ is, and they did it in public. What happened if we were to go out this morning and live this week saying, this is who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us? Seriously, if we were that filled with the Holy Spirit, what difference could we make? And that's where we're going. Church, whether we get it right this week or next year, the simple truth is God will have a people here. And at some point, we will line all our little spiritual ducks up. At some point, all our dots will line up. The Holy Spirit will break out completely within us, and we will begin to touch this town and community in ways we've only dreamed of. We will become history makers in God. And I absolutely believe it, because if I didn't believe it, what is the point in being here today? But I truly believe surely God will have a people in this town. Will it be easy? No. Worth it? Yeah. And that's not a statement for those that use it at the gym. That's a statement for eternity. We can be set free and filled with the Holy Spirit, then we can hold on to the revelation of who Jesus really is. And I understand that I need a God revelation of who Jesus is. Otherwise, I make him small. I make him fit my life. I make him suitable for me. I've told you before, when I was an apprentice, I had a manager who really cared for me, and he said, the Jesus thing that you've got is really wonderful. He was a great philosopher. He was a very nice man. But what I want you to do now is just go out and live your life and have fun. And when you're an old man and you're reaching my age and you're ready to retire, go back and find Jesus then, because that's who Jesus is for. And you know, he meant it. He didn't mean it to discourage me. He was trying to be kind. Church, Jesus is more relevant right now, whatever age you are, whatever your background, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, whatever your nationality, whatever your sexuality, whatever you think, whatever you do, whatever you've been prosecuted for or not prosecuted for, no matter what your ambitions are or were or aren't, Jesus is right for you. That's the place to start. Wherever your life goes, begin it in Jesus. There is no other alternative. There is no better starting point. All the other stuff can be fixed in the size of God. It only becomes a problem when we make him that big. When we allow him to be God, anything can be done. We can leave with God's purpose and vision for our life burning inside of us, even this morning. Nothing is impossible with our God. Hope House Church has a purpose and vision which directs us in all that we do. Hope House Church's purpose and vision is taken directly from Jesus' command in Matthew. And it says this: Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train others you meet far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Everything we are as Hope House Church must be modeled on that. You understand that, don't you? Because that sums up everything we are. We go out, we reach people for Jesus, but then we welcome them, we train them, we encourage them, we bless them, we give them hope, we give them family, we give them purpose. We rebuild, we restore in Christ. We see them filled with the Holy Spirit. We see them learning everything Jesus taught, and then we send them out to carry that good news. So it isn't just a moment of salvation. This is a whole new life. This is a whole new you. This is something God wants to do in us, and it's the charge of God to do it. I listened to Alistair make some promises and commitments earlier this week in his ordination, and it was very clear. I think the word actually, we charge you, might have even been used with the things that are expected. But what was great was the huge long list of support and promises that were given in return. And I want to tell you, when we give what we are to God, there is a huge long list of blessing that God wants to pour into us. The huge Holy Spirit-inspired possibility. We're not in it on our own. The purpose and vision of Hope House is winning souls and making disciples, of connecting people into families, the homeless, giving them a home, the lost, helping them to be found, the broken, being mended, the needy, having needs met, being loved, being supported, becoming part of God's people. We say it like this, connecting real people to a real God in real life. That connecting creates a life of purpose and God fulfillment. From this point on, I get all kind of ethereal and psychobabbly. Go with me. The alternative is the blinkered stumbling of everything in isolation. And you know, and I know, when I live in isolation, when I live in the immediacy, where the small things are so close I can't see past them, I lose the God possibilities. When I got bogged down with the little things, oh my days, how stressful are the little things of life? I'm not saying they're not real, and they mustn't be not dealt with. We've got to take seriously the little things. You know, little things matter, small things matter. We've got to deal with the everyday of life, but not to the extent that we lose sight of who God is for us. Our life is not just immediate. We live with this strange prayer, your kingdom come. And yet his kingdom has already come. We experience his kingdom now, but we know it's a foretaste, a foreshadow of greater things to come. So we live in this strange place of a taste of all that God promises, knowing that it is a taste. Have you ever done that thing where you've said, I'll give it a try? And you have a spoon. I do this all the time. If I go out for a meal with Julie, I'll just try your meal. Why did I not pick that meal? Why did I not taste? So I've had a taste of that amazing meal, and then look at mine. And every mouthful of my meal, no matter how well it's been cooked, is spoiled because it's not the meal that Julie's eating that I now want. As Christians, we have a taste of those things to come. But God is not finished. I think God wants to give us a greater taste, a greater exposure, a greater possibility. When personal fulfillment, though, becomes your priority, it will escape you because we are designed to worship God and not ourselves as number one. So often we're about our personal fulfillment, me feeling good, my agenda. But if we pursue that, I promise you, it will escape you. Because we're designed for God, not ourselves. Let me explain this. Self-fulfillment is an expression of self-worship and steals our joy. God-fulfillment is an expression of true worship and fills us with joy. This is about service. This is about giving of ourselves. You see, if I serve so that I look good, if I serve so I feel better, if I serve so I feel fulfilled, I promise you, you will always wonder, why do I feel frustrated? Why do I always feel hungry? Why does this never quite bring me joy? Because if I learn to serve as an act of worship, because this is for God, because he's an amazing God, he's an amazing Savior, oh my days, what can I do for him? Anything. Suddenly, the fulfillment of God's desires changes who I am. It becomes a true act of worship, and I find joy in that. You know, you can taste this in a great relationship. In a great relationship, suddenly, serving that other person is a pleasure. I noticed on Facebook the other day, there was a picture of a little old man, and he was just wiping around his wife's eyes. She was unconscious in a bed, and he was just taking care of her. And they'd been married for like 70 years. And to be honest, he looked like he should be laying in the hospital bed next to her. But you could actually see the pleasure it gave. He was more than happy to serve. The joy and fulfillment, that was not about him. It was not a pleasant task, but it was about the person he loved. That is a shadow of serving God. Sat where you are right now, it's essential that you understand that this God vision includes you. It includes you. It isn't other people, it isn't special people, it isn't good people, it isn't better people, it isn't the right people. It is us. It is you. And every leader in this room, whatever your responsibility, and frankly, if you stand up and ever say you're from Hope House Church or you're serving Hope House Church, that kind of fits you as leader to some extent because you're carrying and presenting who God is through this church. Every leader in this room, I trust, believes that it is true and will encourage you in it. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. Again, it's the message. Appreciate your leaders who gave you the word of God. Take a good look at the way they live and let their faithfulness instruct you as well as their truthfulness. There should be a consistency that runs through us all. For Jesus doesn't change. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, he's always totally himself. So that is both an encouragement and a challenge there, that as leaders, as people that represent Jesus, there is a lifestyle that we must lead. But there is also a lifestyle we can inspire people with and be inspired by. Leaders, make sure your purpose and fulfillment are about Jesus first. You will find your joy when you serve people in the church. If the people in the church are there to help you find your joy, you will not find it. You are doing it for God, not for a pat on the back. We serve because we want to serve the Lord. And in doing that, we can serve and love and show grace and mercy to his people and to people that we don't know yet, people that don't know who Jesus is yet. But if we serve them through him, wow, the fulfillment, the joy that brings, because that is the big picture, not the me picture. There must be a vision running through our past church, from pastors to connect leaders to youth leaders to host teams to synergy teams to whatever. If you're just like in a pew, there's got to be something that carries through our past church, and that is Jesus Christ and his heart, his character, his nature, the fruit of his spirit in us all. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Let's not limit that stuff. Let's not put that stuff under law. Let's just see it released and flourish in this church. Because then when we meet new people that don't know Jesus is yet, they're going to be met by passion and love. They're going to be met by the character of Christ. I've got you an option right now. So imagine just stood here is Jesus Christ. And the person walking into the room gets to meet Jesus Christ and all that he is. Alternatively, just here is Paul Bedford. And the person coming into Hope House Church gets to meet Paul Bedford. Who's going to do him the most good? Jesus. Which is why we're encouraged to hide ourselves in Christ, to clothe ourselves in him. Because I am me. But God is so generous. He allows us to wrap him around us, to become like him, to change, to be renewed. So you know all of this, I am what I am. No, you're not. I am what I am, take me as I am, accept me. Well, right. We accept you as you are, and then we begin the journey. And I'm not going to make any bones about that one, because that's not popular in our modern world. I accept you as you are, so that together we can begin the journey that changes us. Because quite frankly, if knowing Jesus means that I begin in a mess, but I can live a life of mess, and then die a mess, but know Jesus in the middle of it, what's the point? Seriously? But Jesus steps in and transforms and heals. So when Melvin puts something amazing on Facebook and says, this is what my God has done for me, that is a proclamation and investment in the future, because that is somebody that says, God has done this. And God has purpose for my life. And that is true for every single person in this room. Yes, we accept you as you are, but we're excited about what God can do. And I need to know that's true, because I know the messes I've made in the past. And I need to know that God has a brighter future than my dark past. And Scripture definitely, categorically says, once you were darkness, and now you are children of light. Can somebody correct me if that's a misquote? It's true, isn't it? That seems to me that God promises me a journey from dark to light. If you've got issue with that, if it offends you, if I'm not doing a good counselling job this morning, if I'm supposed to be more psychologically caring and gentle with that, I'm really sorry, but here's the deal. The Holy Spirit's the best counsellor anyway. And he will move you from darkness to light. I don't know the mechanics of that all the time, and I'm not always brilliant at it, but I'm prepared to proclaim it because I trust God. Christian has been set free and can be filled with the Holy Spirit, so it's time for us to grab hold of our role-winning souls and make disciples, connecting people to a real God in real life. You must believe that you have a vital role to play in the vision of connecting real people to real God. You have a vital role. Yes, you. the person that's been divorced, the person that's had this, the person that's done that, the person that stole this, the person that broke that, the person that crashed this, the person that won that, the person that got confused, the person that's mega brainy, the person that's challenged, whatever you are, God absolutely loves you. And he's in the business of taking you from darkness to becoming a child of light, and has purpose for you to win souls. And the very journey you are on, God can use to touch other lives. That's what's so amazing about our God. We don't pretend it never happened, but when we love him, all these things can work together for the good of those that love him. Wow. We don't revel in the darkness. Oh, yes, I used to be a terrible drug addict, you know. Oh, I don't want to celebrate being a past drug addict. I want to celebrate being set free. Yeah. I want to celebrate being free and renewed in Christ. Oh, and by the way, I used to be a drug addict. That's where we need to be. Because the "I used to be a drug addict" could be powerful into somebody's life. But we don't champion what we were, we champion who Jesus is. Most people never feel they stand out or win or are good enough. Put your hand up if you often feel that you don't stand out or you're not quite good enough or you don't win as much as you'd like. You may raise your hand now. The world makes us very competitive with other people, being rated as successful or failures. And we have a wonderful schooling system that begins this preschool, where we decide whether our kids have wobbled and walked properly, whether they've tripped up too often, or whether they can stack bricks up in an appropriate manner and spell their name at 2 years old. So we begin processing them at that age, deciding whether they're going to be a success or a failure. Whee! Those of us that sat on that special table, away from the radiator, by the classroom door, know that is not a good feeling. Some of you are too young, because I'm that generation that didn't stand up here this morning. Some of us remember being on table five, with the pictures on the covers of the books, not just inside. At first it seemed exciting, and then you realized you had lost. And that's where the naughty children sat as well, which was even worse. Because Stephen Parry picked his nose when I was six, and he flicked it. He was naughty, I was thick. See, God isn't interested in rating you as a success or a failure. He's interested in adopting you as a child. And most people live in fear of not being good enough. Well, here's the deal. The cross makes us good enough. The cross makes us good enough. Let me explain why. And why this battle of performance must not enter the church. Because the battle of performance, the winning, losing, good enough, bad enough attitude, is not a God one. When people are disconnected from God, their intellect and creativity, I think, are separated. Their God nature is broken. So our intellect only sees problems to overcome, and weakness and failure. Our creativity sees possibilities to discover. And in God, we're meant to have an intellect and a creativity. So there may be problems, but we can see possibilities. We can discover new ways. There are new places to go. We're not meant to have our minds separated that way. We're not meant to be broken. And Romans chapter 12 says this: have your mind renewed. God wants to bring our mind back together, our intellect and our creativity, what we are, back together in a healthy way that reflects him. In God, winning isn't about becoming best. It's about becoming secure in your purpose. It's about having your mind renewed. It is the big win. Winning is when ordinary people, real people in real life, proclaim the good news of Jesus to other real people in a way that leads to true repentance, connecting them to God. Winning is not being a better preacher than me. My winning is not being a better preacher than you. Winning is when we have the courage to take hold of our real purpose, which is to talk about Jesus in public. That is winning. Everything else is just serving. Winning happens as each one of you tells others what God has done in your life. That is your testimony. That's not competitive with me, because that's your God story and I have my God story. And God is gracious enough to bring us together to share those stories. Winning happens when our personal relationship with Jesus becomes public. Winning in God is waking up every day with a feeling that the God-appointed purpose that you have will outlast you. So it's built not on what you achieve or what you help those around you achieve, but upon who you become together. See, if we are united, if we walk together, if we value one another, if we carry the nature and character and heart of Christ into this community, then we are winning. If we don't have a big shiny building, that's not winning, that's just a thing. This isn't winning, this is just a place to meet when it rains. Or when it's too sunny outside, it's a place to gather, it's a focal point. But the winning is the unity and the going out together. Winning takes place in our connect groups, at our prayer meeting, in our Sunday morning celebration service. But it also happens in your home with your children, your places of work, over the garden fence, wherever and whenever we begin to connect real life and our real God, winning begins. Don't limit yourself. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Take the limits off. Look at the people in your life, and there are people in every one of your lives, and know that who you are in Christ is enough. There are people in your life that need you to be Christ in theirs. To carry his word, to carry his heart, to love them, to serve them, to tell them about what he's done in your life. Not to bash them, not to berate them, not to criticize them, not to tell them why they're wrong, but simply stick to this. This is who Jesus is and what he's done in my life. You know, if we do a little bit less judging and a little bit more celebrating of who Jesus is, I think we can begin to win people to Christ. And the prospect of that excites me. I don't want to tell the world why it's wrong. I want to tell the world why Jesus is right and why he loves them, why he connects with them. I don't want to be part of a campaigning, whining organization that only complains and criticizes. I want to be part of a good news generation that says, hey, whatever's going off in this world, Jesus wants to be sat with you right now. And he wants to talk with you, because Jesus meets with sinners and tax collectors, and apparently they're the lowest form of life on earth. And I'm not a tax collector, but I can promise you this, I'm definitely a sinner. I mean, if you're only paying to bless his cotton socks, he's a sinner and a tax collector. God must really love him. You are good enough in Christ to share who Jesus is. Some might people you see in your everyday life, at work, in the shop, on the bus here, on the bus home, you are good enough to share Jesus with them. Be ready to talk the good news story. You have the opportunity to do amazing things in your God purpose. So bring someone with you on the journey. Church, we need to grow. We want to grow. Because we want baptism services. Because we want people to be taught by everything that Jesus said and to send them out. Because we've got an enormous town that doesn't know who Jesus is. And we're sat on this amazing truth of who Jesus is. Let's have the courage. No matter who that person is, they need to know Jesus. And the Holy Spirit wants to use you to win them, to connect to them. Can I have the band back up, please? God wants to use you to give those people a new vision, a new possibility. He wants to use you to pull their mobile phone life away from their faces, to get rid of the zombie, and to release them to real living. And you do that by sharing Jesus Christ. These guys are going to be able to play that, you know, that low note that is inspirational and frees the Holy Spirit up. It's a keyboard thing, mate. It's the one. I love that anointed bass note. God's in it. The reason I'm joking about it now is because I don't want this to be emotional. This has to be an active choice. I don't want anybody to respond to God because, oh, I feel all choked up, I need to emotionally respond. I do that when I'm watching films. I cry. Every Christmas I watch, Muppet Christmas Carol, but A Wonderful Life, A Wonderful Life. And I cry all the way through that film. I'm dehydrated by the end of it, so I know I'm emotional. So here's what I want you to do this morning, to consciously know incredible God is. You see, church is what you do. Church is who you are. Church is people learning to be like Jesus Christ. Church is people learning to go. Let's not go to church. Let's be the church that goes. Let's be the tribe that has a God purpose and a call to fulfill. So here is my cold, calculated, honest statement. The reason I began talking silly and foolish about zombies and mobile phones, the reason I make jokes about droning notes at the bottom, is because this has not got to be a purely emotional response. There has to be a heart that says, Lord, I am with you. I stand with you. I will know that in Christ I am good enough. And even as I'm saying that, I'm praying, Lord, make me good enough. So the guy's going to lead us in worship, and here's my challenge to you. I want to encourage you to have the guts, the courage, to stand and say, I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's. Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me to carry good news to the people I know. Church, I'm dead serious, because that's a hard thing to do. And if it's a hard thing to do in the confines of this room, how hard is that going to be outside of this room with the people that don't know Jesus yet? This is a safe place. This is people that know you. Some of us have an opportunity to be that all the time. The minute I say what my job is, you effectively open the door. I know you don't all have that. I'm looking forward to seeing Alistair with a collar on. But the minute he says, I'm an army chaplain, it will open conversations that allow him to introduce Jesus. But here's the thing, when you talk about your life and what Jesus has done, it allows you to open doors into people's lives, because your life is real and relevant too, when it's hidden in Christ. So as the guys sing now, whatever they're going to sing, as we reach out to God, I'm going to encourage you to do something. And I want you to do something unusual and peculiar, almost a prophetic act. You know I like to do prophetic acts sometimes. I want you to come to the front, and I don't want you to face this way and worship God like you're invisible. I'm actually going to ask you to do something, just for a few seconds, to turn around and face the congregation and say, I am the Lord's. And with everything I possibly can be, Lord, I want to do this for you. I want to connect real people to real God in real life, and I want to know that through your Holy Spirit I am good enough. So I'm going to ask you to come up here if you can, to stand here or to sit here or do whatever you need to do, if you possibly physically can do that. Face this congregation for a couple of seconds and then feel free to go and sit down. But sometimes we have to make a statement and say, I am in this for you, God. I am in this. I am in this, and it's not a game. And if you've got an issue with the church, if you've got a battle or a challenge, I want to tell you, if right now you're a part of this church, you're in this church, you know what, this is where God has called you to be. Do some forgiving, do some repenting, do some reconnecting and some rebuilding, because if you cannot connect with the people that love you in this church, do not think you're going to be able to connect with people out there. If you cannot walk in unity in this room, you will not carry a message of unity outside of this building. So do some connecting this morning before you stand there. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, I don't know everybody in this room, and you'll think, what is this man talking about? I just want to tell you, we found Jesus, and Jesus is amazing. Jesus is so much more than what I understood when I watched King of Kings as a kid on TV at Christmas. Jesus is so much more than the thing the vicar told me when I went to church as a kid. Jesus is massive and wonderful and life-transforming. And if you want to know Jesus is, come and talk to me and we can explain. He's worth hearing about. Is worth discovering, because he changes everything. Let's worship God. And as you're ready, just come and make a statement. I am God's. And when you make that statement, understand that's about unity. It's about connecting with the people in this room. It's about connecting with the Holy Spirit. It's about being prepared to connect with the lost outside of this place. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face to you, give you strength, give you peace as you serve him. Amen.